The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 19th of December, and it's nearly Christmas. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody.
How are you?
Very Christmassy.
Yeah, how was your ginger?
It was delicious. Yeah, ginger and chocolate mince pie is an alternative, but yeah. Lovely. Yeah.
Was it? It didn't look that appetising.
Oh, didn't it? Oh, well, you won't want the other three then. Thanks.
No, well, I was waiting for you try it to see what it was like.
Put them to one side for later.
Oh, here we go. It was nice, was it?
That's my first one of the year, actually. My first mince pie.
Your first ginger and chocolate one, your first mince pie in total?
My first mince pie this Christmas.
Was it?
Yeah, long may it continue.
I think so.
Are you well?
Yeah, I'm fine. Well, no, but I'm out holding up.
You've had a bit of a sniffle.
I've had a bit of a.
But is it man flu?
Oh no.
Are we allowed to say that?
No. It was far worse than man flu. Man flu would have been a joy. It was far worse than man flu. Let me tell you,
okay.
It was epic. It was absolutely epic.
Yeah. Apparently, we're allowed to have man flu now, men.
Yes. Yeah, I saw it's that. It's official.
Yeah, because if you criticise someone when they say they've got man flu, I think there's all sorts of discriminatory legislation that you might be kind of
hate crime.
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. Yeah, if you put that on social media, forget
hate
it.
Hate crime. Yeah, you get banned by Twitter for that.
Trolled and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I'm all for it. Mm.
Good. Well, that's it then. It's another year over.
Do you know what? This time next week, it will all be over, won't it?
It will, won't it?
There's this huge build-up to Christmas Day.
Yeah, that starts around about the end of September these days. Yeah,
I mean, actually, in my local supermarket, they had Christmas in before they had Halloween in this year.
Really? Well, they've already got Easter eggs in mine.
It was a bit bizarre. Yeah. So, anyway, so this time next week, it'll be Boxing Day, and we'll all be thinking, oh, I wish I hadn't been
sleeping
so
in
much
chair.
Yesterday.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
We'll all be, what films are on this afternoon?
Yeah.
Do I need to nip down the shops and get some bread?
Yeah. Die Hard.
Yeah.
That'll be on, won't it? Die Hard.
Christmas TV just gets worse, doesn't it, every year, I think.
Do you know what? I don't watch it.
You don't watch it?
I don't watch it anymore.
Not even The Queen?
Not even The African Queen. Don't even watch that
now
anymore.
That is a good film.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Nah. They don't put it on anymore, so I don't watch.
Have you done all your Christmas shopping?
I'm starting soon, yeah.
What have you got Amanda for Christmas? Just tell me.
She won't know, will she? If I tell you, she won't ever know. No.
You're not going to fall for that one,
are
you?
I'm not going to, no. No, you're right.
All right. I haven't bought a single present yet.
Have you not?
No, and I'm proud of it. Really? So Thursday is my day.
It's your shopping day.
I'm going to blitz it.
Where are you going? The garage? The Shell garage at the end of your road.
Yeah, now, I've got some stuff in boxes.
Hey, Debs. Yeah. One of those. Do they still sell those nylon knickers in a little see-through plastic heart? Do they still sell those?
I have no idea where this conversation is going, and I can't say I like it. So let's change the subject.
Okay. So you're not going shopping in the garage?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. Please.
I should be.
Hey, listen. Anyway, I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsor, Fruitbowl Media, the web design agency based in Canterbury at Fruitworks there. Thank you so much for sponsoring the Business Bunker Show for December.
How are the guys over there?
They're very well. Yeah, it's Tony's birthday tomorrow.
Is it? Happy birthday, Tony, for tomorrow.
Happy birthday, mate.
And George? Is he all right?
George is all right. George's birthday is on Boxing Day, I do believe. Yeah.
Busy beavering away on new websites.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So thank you to the guys at Fruit Bowl for sponsoring this month. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on board. We would like to hear from you, though. Mm. All those businesses out there in the southeast of England, and you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me if you wish to on 01233 220035. That's Ashford, 01233.
Has that ever happened?
220035 once, and I missed it.
Right, okay. So we're desperate for a phone call, people.
Yeah, once
somebody call us.
It doesn't ring; it flashes. Somebody rang and rang and rang, and I wasn't facing the phone, so I didn't see the flashing, so I ignored it.
That was on social media. I was on Facebook afterwards. That was, well, I tried to ring you and you didn't answer.
Exactly. So you can call me and I might even answer. Or you could email me at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag BBunker. And despite Martin's protestations, we have in fact had 1,934,700,007,000 plus VAT. We have an accountant on the show. Tweets so far.
You better read one then.
But you can't find any of them, can you?
I can't for some reason, no.
I don't know why.
I'll just make them up as I go along.
Well, that's what I do.
We're going to say hello to all our friends today anyway, aren't we?
We are, yeah. We're going to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. Yeah. But I'll read the first one I've got. It's from Design Point. And they say, can I have a shout out, please, Paul, on your Business Bunker show for Steve at Design Point. And their Twitter handle is Des_POINT, Des Point. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners. And Design Point are a local creative agency. So do give them a follow.
I'm going to say hello to Serenity Becker.
Are you?
Because...
You've been out drinking with Becker, haven't you?
Yes. She's been leading me astray.
Yeah, she's been. She's had you on the Kraken, hasn't she? I can tell.
I've never heard of that until a couple of Fridays ago. But
Becker.
She's been following us on the Twitter over the last couple of days, but she didn't use the hashtag #BBunker. But we're going to say hello anyway. So Serenity is a chain of salons, beauty salons. So we've got one in Swalecliffe, one in Faversham, beautiful salon in Faversham, actually.
Canterbury.
Just had its one-year anniversary, and one in Canterbury. Mm. So if you're looking for a last-minute beautification treatment, could be anything, give Rebecca a ring. It's at Serenity Becker on the Twitter, but as I say, you'll find her on the internet under
Microderma
Serenity.
Abrasion.
All of that kind of stuff.
Microderma abrasion, that's the job. Yeah.
So she's a Gino Crown Salon, I believe, isn't she?
She is indeed.
Which actually means quite a lot. So she's right up there in terms of her expertise and her team. So hi, Rebecca. Mm. Have a great Christmas.
All joking aside, she's an absolutely excellent businesswoman. And in her business, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, she opened a new salon and some idiot in a truck drove through the front of the salon and demolished it. Yeah. And she got the whole thing back on track within about 2 weeks.
She's amazing.
Unbelievable. Mm. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Cool. I've had an email here about Bell's Business Beginners Event. That's not easy to say. Bell's Business Beginners Event.
Is that sponsored by Bell's the Whiskey Company?
No. It's sponsored by Bell's the Accounting Company. it's taking place at the Park Plaza Hotel in Victoria, in London. Tuesday the 6th of February from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it's going to provide you with vital tools that you need when starting a business. There's the legal side, the legal implications of hiring staff and how do you manage them, plus all the other important legal requirements of running a business. The money side, the most important part of running a business, you need to know how to manage your cash flow, how to get the most out of your accountant and professional advisors and all the money matters. Sales, know how to sell yourself, visibility, credibility and profitability. Marketing, identifying your ideal client and then using the right platform for you and your business to get in front of them. And in running a business, covering lots of other areas that should be looked at when starting and running a business. With so much to think about when you start a business, it's easy to miss something out. At the Bell's Business Beginners event, we will give you the information and advice on the bits you must have in place to ensure your business is a success. We have four great speakers, each an expert in their field, who will take you through the important steps you need to do to ensure your business is a success. And the speakers are Joanne Bell, who's the founder and owner of Bell's Accountants and an all-round entrepreneur. She owns two or three businesses. David Taylor, who is the co-author of two books on digital and social media marketing. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who is the owner of Orchard Employment Law, HR and Employment Law Specialists. And Julia Bernard-Thompson, who is a high-profile sales and business coach. So the event is a full-day event with lunch and refreshments throughout the day. And you can find out more by going to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners. Do check it out.
Wow, that's a pretty packed agenda, isn't it?
Certainly is. Sounds like fun.
Take your notepad along for that one.
Yeah. Mm. What have you got?
I've got to Eastwell Manor.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's worth having, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the lovely Alison Wallace, who looks after all of the business development for Eastwell, invited me the other week to...
Just you?
Yeah, just me.
Yeah.
Well, and the owner of Champneys, of course. He was there. And the previous owner of Eastwell. You know, I'm not name dropping.
So just the three of you?
Yeah. And a couple of reindeer. For the launch...
Was that lunch or...?
For the launch of the ice rink.
Ah, right.
So if you...
Did you get your skates on?
I didn't get mine on, but our friends certainly did. They loved it. And David Seaman was there. He was the celebrity guest of honour.
What was he?
What was he?
No, I said, was he? I know what he was. He was the Arsenal and England goalkeeper.
He was indeed. Yeah. And do you know what a lovely guy.
Yeah.
And his wife, Frankie, as well, who I believe used to be a figure skater.
Mm.
So they did a little twirl to kind of kick the whole thing off.
Right.
And there was mulled wine and mince pies.
Do you think he's angling for a spot on Strictly?
I think he'd be a fantastic competitor. But I think he'd be more suited to, what's the ice show
Dancing
called?
Dancing on Ice.
Dancing on Ice. Simon knows.
That's how they met.
Oh, he's done that already. Mm. Oh, okay. So he really knows his stuff. Nice guy. But the point about all of this is, if you want something to do with the kids this Christmas and you'd like to go ice skating and you don't have to schlep all the way to London or some other equally glamorous venue, get yourselves over to Eastwell Manor. It's Absolutely. Open all the way over Christmas.
So. Fantastic. Yeah, good. But you didn't go on the ice.
I did not go on the ice, no.
Okay.
It's never really been my thing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something now, though. This might be your thing. But I'll tell you what, it's awesome, this. I've had to read this three times, and I still wasn't sure.
I know what you're going to say. Is it Bets Hanger?
No.
Oh.
No. It's Wheels to Work. Yeah. Listen to this, Martin. You'll like this. Wheels to Work can help with a moped loan scheme that helps your employees save money and gain freedom to travel as and when needed. Wheels to Work provide 50cc and 125cc mopeds with monthly payment of either £121 or £156 per month. The cost that includes the hire of the moped, the road tax, the insurance, the breakdown assistance, the servicing. They'll also provide the clothing, a waterproof jacket, a high-vis sleeveless overjacket, a crash helmet and waterproof gloves. You get the lot, yeah? And can make sure that the employee is trained and safe to drive the thing. The applicant must be over 16, live in Kent, and either have a firm offer of a job, an apprenticeship or a training course, or already be in work, training or in college. They must also check that there's no easy public transport for their journey and that wherever they're going is suitable for that type of device. Yeah.
What, you mean a moped?
Yeah, yeah. To find out more, go to www.kent.co.uk. What a good little scheme.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? That's quite unique.
Yeah, that is really unique. And that will solve some of the problems in places like out on the Romney Marsh.
Right.
Where there's no public transport. There's no work out on the marsh. Mm. They're 8 miles, 9 miles from Ashford, where there's tons of work, and there's no public transport between the two. So what a good idea. What a good scheme.
Well, that could lead us into another tweet that we've had, couldn't it? Quite nicely.
Mm-hmm.
From Terry Botfield.
Right, okay.
So Terry is running a very successful networking group, newly established, down on the marsh now. I think we've pretty much done for December, but the January Marsh Networking Over Coffee is on Wednesday the 10th. It's from 10 till 12 at the St Paul Arms, which is a lovely pub there on the High Street.
Mm.
And I've been a couple of times myself, and I've got to say it's a really good meeting. So if you're a business based down there or... Actually, you get a lot of businesses from East Sussex coming across as well for that one, from Hastings and Rye. It's on Wednesday the 10th, and he's got a book here on the email. I think the easiest way to find all of that, and they also do an evening one as well, is Terry's posted all of this on the Supply My Business website. So it's in the community section, and you've got it on...
It's also on Kent Business Radio website, in the blog.
So get yourselves along. It's free networking, and you'll meet some super businesses. So, yeah, well done, Terry, for getting that off the ground.
Absolutely. He's done a really fabulous job with that. I went to the first one. I was blown away by how many people turned up at that. Really good. And as you say, the St Paul Arms has really improved as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Spent a lot of money refurbishing it.
Yeah. Although a car's just driven through the... Through the front door.
Really?
A couple of weeks ago, which was nice.
Some people
are
so impatient. Can't even be bothered to park on the way to the pub, can they?
No, I've got to get a pint now.
Yeah, need it now.
I'll just park in the...
Yeah, I can't find anywhere else to park. I'll park in the public bar.
Park in the lounge.
Yeah, why not? Why wouldn't you?
We should talk about our very, very good friend, Ben Leach.
Yeah, BOIT Systems.
Actually, Sarah and Simon, who are with us today, know Ben very well as well, because we all network together up at Dartford Football Club every other Thursday, don't we, at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, what is the matter with you people?
Yeah. And Ben is launching a new IT academy in the new year.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is a brilliant initiative. So it's a free-to-attend IT academy. So people from all sorts of abilities in terms of their IT expertise can go along, learn about how to use Excel or Word or whatever it might be, learn about IT security, cybercrime, all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's putting that on free of charge.
Wow.
So well done, Ben. That's a fantastic initiative. 16th of January is the first kickoff meeting for that. at the Successes Training Centre, which is in College Road in Maidstone. You'll find it on Eventbrite, or again, you'll find it in community on Supply My Business. So well done, Ben.
Fantastic.
And we wish you all the best for that, and happy Christmas to you.
Yeah. Oh, that's a nice one. Good initiative. Really like that.
Yeah, I do.
I had a tweet from All Health Matters, Julie Monk and the team over there. She says, "Hi, Paul, can we get a shout-out, please, and a great big thank you to our fabulous team in Canterbury and London who have really worked hard this year. Here's to an even bigger and better 2018. Merry Christmas to you, the Bunker, and all of your listeners." Well, thank you, Julie, and thank you to the lovely folks at All Health Matters.
Yeah. The one thing that, although we're all kind of winding down for Christmas, it's really just all kind of starting and all gearing up for the new year, isn't it, already?
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know what your diary looks like, but I've arranged a meeting on Tuesday morning in Ashford at 9 o'clock.
My diary is already full up into the third week of March.
Yeah.
Seriously.
So
I know.
What are we going to get? A week off, and then we're straight back into it.
Absolutely.
Which is how it should be, isn't it?
I guess.
Something to look forward to.
I guess.
So anyway, there's something else to look forward to happening the week after we're all back, which is the Kent Business Summit.
Yes.
Now, I believe you had a lady from the Kent Business School on last week, didn't you?
Florchi Hooter was on last week, mm-hmm.
So this is a kind of a joint initiative with the FSB, Kent Business School, and also the Institute of Directors, I believe.
That's right.
And it's all about an opportunity for business leaders in Kent to get together mm-hmm. and discuss mm-hmm. the direction that we think business in Kent mm-hmm. should be going in.
Absolutely.
And help shape the future. Yep. Of, you know, lobbying, for example, at kind of local central government level, etc.
Mm.
So it's going to be some fantastic networking opportunities to meet some serious business leaders in Kent.
Mm.
And I believe there's a token admission charge of, what is it, £20?
Yep.
Which actually includes breakfast as well.
Yeah.
So get yourselves along to that.
That's going to be a massive event. You need to book it fairly soon because it's going to sell out.
Friday the 12th.
Yeah. It's going to be a big, big event.
Are you going along to that?
I certainly am.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
So you'll find, again, all the information for that. I'm sure it's on the Kent Business Radio website.
It is on our website, yeah. It's on the FSB website.
It's
on the Kent Business School website.
You'll find it on Eventbrite.
Yeah. If you follow them on the Twitter, it's Kent_KBS.
Yeah. And also follow Alison Palmer at FSB Kent.
Yep.
Because she's tweeting about it quite a lot as well.
Yeah,
so,
that's Alison.Palmar, Alison.Palmer at FSB Kent.
Yeah, good.
Why I know all these Twitter handles, I've no idea, but I do. Yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Play some tunage.
We're going to play some really cheesy Christmas tunage. Here we go. What do you reckon? It's Perry Como. Goodness sake, yeah.
That's why there's blank faces.
Oh, yeah, Perry Como.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Take a look in the 5 and 10,
glistening once again
with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, toys in every store.
But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that chooses the wish of Barney and Ben.
Dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go.
Now there's a tree in the Grand Hotel,
one in the park as well,
the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start,
and the thing that will make them ring
is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
A pair of hop-along boots and a pistol that shoots
is the wish of Barney and Ben.
dolls that'll talk and we'll go for a walk
is the hope for Janice and Jen.
And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Soon the bells will start. And the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent Business Community today. Grow your business with Kent's best business events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 19th of December. Bit of Perry Como there.
Lovely.
Yeah. Did you like that?
Yeah. I love all that tradition.
Yeah, yeah.
I always look out for, we were talking about films earlier, I always look out for the old, really traditional films at Christmas.
Wonderful Life, that
Christmas
kind of thing.
Christmas Carol, Wonderful Life, all that kind of stuff. I love it. Yeah.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favourite colour? That kind of thing.
No.
Okay. I don't like Buddy the Elf.
No. I'm strictly black and white.
Oh, yeah.
At Christmas, yeah.
Oh, blimey.
Right.
Cool. I'll tell you what I watched for the first time yesterday. Or the other, not yesterday, or the weekend, was Fred Claus. You seen that?
Yes. Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Anyway, are you trying to get anywhere in a hurry at Christmas?
Don't think so.
This is a lead in to a tweet that we made.
Go for it then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because Paul Rainbow.
Of Treyman Finance.
Yeah. He was on the show recently, and he's actually been supplying an awful lot of cars to an awful lot of people recently.
Mm. Except you.
Except me. But this might,
because you're too tight to buy a new car.
Yeah, but this might just tempt me.
Okay,
might
go just for tempt it. Me. What is it?
So the reason I was asking if you're trying to get anywhere in a hurry is because he's doing a 310 brake horsepower VW Golf Type R, which is their kind of sporty version.
Yeah, yeah.
For £199 plus VAT.
Really?
Can you believe that?
Really?
So that car's probably, what, 35,000?
I was going to say 35 grand, 40 grand for an R.
199 plus VAT with £2,000 down.
It's only got three wheels or something.
Three doors.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want five doors on a car like that.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a little treat, or perhaps something slightly more modest, a Citroen Cactus, for example, which he can do at £120 a month. And I believe he's just got himself one of those for his wife. So Paul is definitely your car leasing man.
Mm.
At Treyman Finance, I believe, Treyman on the
Finance.
Twitter.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'll find those offers on our website again.
So do you fancy being a boy racer then, Mark?
I think I'd be collecting the wrong kind of points if I had a car like that. It wouldn't be in the Greed Shield stamps that I'd be collecting. It would be the wrong kind of points.
Okay.
So, no, is the answer. I used to have one of those, actually, as a company car many years ago.
Really?
I wouldn't have another one.
When you were still alive?
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But what a deal.
That is awesome, isn't it?
Isn't it just?
Yeah, it certainly is.
And that is a serious bit of kit.
Certainly is. Mm. I've had a tweet from Athel Bray. Vanilla Web Business Bunker, shout out, please. Can you say a massive thank you to our fabulous trainers, a cheery, dedicated bunch and so appreciated by clients and especially by us. Looking forward to celebrating our 20th anniversary with them next year. Happy Christmas to the bunker and all the team. So thank you. That's from Kate and Keith at Athel Bray Limited, the training company. And you can follow them on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Athel Bray Limited, which is spelled A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D. Do give them a follow.
We've had a a tweet from the gorgeous Amanda at Butterflies Business Events.
She is a bit gorgeous.
And she says, have a great show. Mm. She's struggling with Molly Wright. Molly Moodle.
Molly Moodle Media. Molly Wright, yeah.
Struggling to get through the edamame beans.
Edamame beans. They're in Wagamamas. Edamame beans. They're in Wagamamas. They're in Wagamamas in Blue Water.
Right. So is that supposed to be some sort of lunch, is it?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It doesn't look very appetising, Amanda.
Well, edamame beans are the starter. They're a snack while you're waiting for the starters to arrive.
What, the lentils, you mean? That come as the main or something?
Have you never been to Wagamamas?
Well, about 20 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, now you want to get yourself there, mate.
Okay.
I like a Wagamama. Right. So she's in Wagamamas, is she? I wonder where she got to.
You need to start hanging out with Jules Serkin a bit more, I think, Amanda. She'll show you what a lunch is really all about.
Yeah. Except that you couldn't drive home afterwards. That's the problem.
No. Yeah. In fact, lunch turns into dinner, turns into breakfast. Yeah.
I had another one of those after Slope Off the other night.
Yeah.
1 o'clock in the morning, I get a text from Jules. Hello. Martin and me and Becca have just gone to the pub because they've thrown us out from lunch. It's 1 a.m. Yeah. Well, what pub did you end up in? She was giving it large about Wetherspoons.
The cathedral-like Wetherspoons in Ramsgate.
Yeah.
Which is enormous.
Yeah.
It was a good evening. In fact, while we're on the subject, there's another Slope-Off. There isn't one in January.
February, isn't it?
Because obviously we're all on February dry January. It's February the 1st at the Yarrow Hotel in Broadstairs.
Really?
Which, of course, is actually an East Kent College-owned hotel.
Oh, is it? Oh.
So what they've done to bridge the gap between education and actually, you know, practical skills in the world of business is they've bought their own hotel, which is brilliant, isn't it? Mm. So all of their hospitality, catering, all of those type courses and students can actually apply those skills in a kind of practical setting.
Fantastic.
In the hotel, which they actually own and run as a commercial operation.
Good idea, isn't it?
So we're really looking forward to that. So it's actually on a Thursday this time.
Slope Off Friday's on a Thursday.
It's Slope Off Thursday, only for February.
Okay, all right. But you know what's going to happen, though, don't you?
Slope Off Weekend? I don't know.
You're going to start off with Slope Off Thursday and it's not going to finish until lunchtime Friday, is it?
Well, that's okay.
Just to make it congruent with what the branding is.
And once again, it's walking distance for me, so even closer this time.
Oh, my God. Anyway, enough of that. Do you know what? I want to talk to someone sensible.
Yes.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, but not for a long time, onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Chris Gaze, Chief Accountant of Rift Accounting.
Okay, we'll go with that. Nice to see you again, Paul.
Yeah, it's good to see you, Chris. As I say, you were a regular a couple of years ago on the show.
I was, but they don't let me out now. So.
Yeah, and then you got usurped. They put you to work, and you've been really busy, haven't you? Yeah.
Right.
So how's things at Rift?
Really good. Really strong growth for us this year.
Yeah.
So not just Rift Accounting. Rift Group's done an excellent job again this year. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that it's a very busy time of year for you at the moment.
Indeed,
you've got lots going on. So just quickly run us through what happens for you this time of the year.
Okay, well, for anyone who doesn't know, what's happening this time of year is it's the run-up to what accountants will dread being the tax return season.
Mm.
So people's self-assessment tax returns are due by the 31st of January. Now, that seems some way away now, but that will soon be on us. What we also have is an awful lot of companies have their business year end at March, which means their accounts are due at the end of December.
Mm.
And a lot of the good ones have done them already, but a lot of them haven't provided the information yet. So we're still working on those.
Have you done yours?
Of course.
Yeah.
So we'll get a couple of days off.
Yeah.
Christmas Day and Boxing Day. then I'm back. So.
There's a lot due to happen. There's been a lot happening already anyway with auto-enrolment and stuff like that this year. But there's a lot of things coming down the pike as well, isn't there? Like digital tax returns and all that kind of stuff.
Making tax digital is a potentially massive thing that's going to come in the next...
Yeah, just for those that don't know, just give us a quick overview of what the government are trying to do to us now.
Okay, so what they want to do is they want everyone to be submitting details of their income much more regularly than the once-a-year self-assessment that you currently do.
Mm.
So some businesses will already do that in terms of if they're VAT registered, they'll submit something every quarter, usually. But they want every business, and when I mean business, every self-employed person, and that can be just a man with a bag of tools who's self-employed, because most of them are, to be submitting something to HMRC once a quarter. They want to be using software to do that as well.
Mm. They're really taking liberties now, aren't they? I have to pay my tax in advance. I now have to pay part of my tax before I've earned it. I mean, what is that all about? Cool, blimey.
Well, that's something that a lot of people find themselves in that position. A lot of people struggle to get around. Yeah.
It's called disincentivisation.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Big time.
Which is, you know, what entrepreneurship's all about, isn't it? Yeah, in this country.
Yeah. They have delayed the digital tax return scheme already, haven't they? But when's it due to kick in?
Well, they originally said 2020, but there's a lot of uncertainty around it at the moment. Probably because HMRC haven't got their own systems in place to deal with it. So I think it's one that we're really going to have to keep an eye on. I think the next budget that comes out, there'll probably be some more information on it then.
In a minute, we're going to do the FSB news, and I was looking through it earlier, and there's actually a bit in there because the FSB have been trying to lobby the government to say you're barking up a tree, this ain't going to work for various reasons, which I'll explain later.
Well, there's definitely a train of thought that thinks this may never happen just because it'll be too difficult to implement.
Yeah. I mean, you're still dealing, you know, with a world of plastic bags and receipts, aren't you? So how on earth expect the average
that's true
not the average necessarily small business owner, but certainly many small business owners who rock up at your offices each year with a plastic bag and asking you to kind of make some sense
that's
of
right.
what
we're obviously trying to steer them into something a bit more modern than that,
but it's a bit of a leap of faith, isn't it, to go from a plastic bag to a sort of, you know, do your own online, you know.
Well, hopefully for us it's an opportunity for us to help these guys on a more regular basis than once a year with a carrier bag, and we can help them to modernise their own methods, and then we can help on a quarterly basis.
Yeah, but talking about that, you guys use ClearBooks, I think, the online...
Yeah, mainly we use ClearBooks.
Sorry?
Mainly we use ClearBooks.
Yeah, ClearBooks, which is a web-based...
Yeah, it's a cloud
cloud software as a service business, very popular now, and there's a number of packages around that do that. Tim Foraker, who was the founder of... ClearBooks, has actually been on the radio show here before, and I don't know if you've seen, Tim has taken a sabbatical from from ClearBooks and is inventing a completely new service. Have you seen that?
I have seen that.
Yeah, it's brilliant, isn't it? He's got a thing which is a business in a credit card. What he's launching is a credit card, but whenever you spend anything, it goes straight into your accounting system, and it does everything. It does your banking, your accounting systems and everything every time you use it. It's a really clever idea, really very clever idea. So it'd be interesting to see when that comes out and just how well it works.
It is, and that could be really key for these guys who are very small. And if they just use their business account for everything, then it could just track it all straight into them.
Yeah, absolutely.
The thing that I don't understand, because, I mean, I do my own bookkeeping, I do my own management accounts, Well, but the reason I do that is because I want to know where my business is. I want to know what my cash flow forecast is looking like.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that if I think I'm going to have a deficit in any given month, I can do something about it proactively rather than waking up one morning and finding out there's no money in my bank account. Mm. So it still amazes me the number of small business owners who are out there running their business according to how much cash they think they have in the bank at any given point in time when they go to draw some money out.
There's a lot of people running their businesses blind, and what we're trying to do with a lot of our guys is to educate them on the benefits of using something like a software that can help you manage the business.
Because all those reports are just there at a touch of a button. Absolutely. Once the data's been inputted, you can call off any kind of number of reports.
But a lot of people don't see the value of that. It's more important for them to be out doing the work or getting in new work and... Mm.
Yeah, and of course that
see this
is important.
A chore more than something that's got a positive output. From
absolutely,
it.
I mean, you really should have management accounts every month to look at your cash flow.
If you're employing staff, if you've got a fleet of vehicles, if you've got an office space, I mean, in other words, you know, if you're running a proper nuts and bolts business,
you need to be able to support. You need to have an idea of what your cash flow is.
I mean, imagine waking up one morning and not having enough money to pay the payroll at the end
absolutely.
Of the month.
But that happens to so many people.
Of course it does.
Because they don't do what Chris is saying. They don't manage their cash flow. Yeah. They don't look at what they're doing. And that happens to so many people. I'd have to make it up, but I'm usually pretty good at making up statistics. There's something like 70% of all business failures fail because they run out of cash, not because they run out of customers. Mm. Yeah. They've got loads of work, but they haven't got the cash to carry on doing it. Mm-hmm. And that is entirely due to the fact that they haven't managed their cash flow. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So from your point of view, Chris, at Rift Accounting, that's something that you really do put a lot of effort into, is trying to help your clients to manage what they're doing.
Yeah, definitely. So it's encouraging to use some software that will help them. Mm. We're not generally going in and doing a lot of this work hands-on for them, but it's about educating them to use the tools that are available to them to help run their business. Mm. And then we'll sit down with them once a quarter, and if they're worried about anything, then we can talk to them, or we can point out some potential pitfalls that they may not have realised.
Yeah. I think that'll be the biggest benefit that comes out of all of this. The fact that actually it will help business, it will force businesses to become better businesses.
To manage their finances better,
will.
Yeah. The whole self-assessment business, I mean, how's that going? Is that something you get involved in as well? Do you get involved in self-assessment?
Yeah, people? Absolutely. So we're mainly dealing with limited companies, but all those guys have a self-assessment as well to do with it. So self-assessments are coming up next month, so we're very busy on that.
And the return for those is the 31st of January, isn't it? Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to pay anything that you owe on that date as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, possibly 50%.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
unless you're an oligarch like you, Paul, in which case you prepay your tax.
Yeah, I paid it last year.
Yeah, paid it. Yeah, just paid it, wrote him a cheque. Yeah.
See, I don't think they pay it. I'm convinced they don't pay attention to that, though, because I'm sure they bill me again.
Did you forget to sign it or something? Yeah, is that what you mean?
No. They took the money, but then they asked me for more, and I'm thinking, hold on a minute, didn't you take that last year?
Because you gave it to them too readily. If you'd fought your corner a bit harder with a Rift or someone backing
you
record.
Up. Yeah. Well, they are my accountant. It's part of my accountant, so
you need to work them a bit harder, obviously.
No, they're fine. There's nothing wrong with Rift. It's HMRC that are the problem. Right. Yeah, they keep wanting to take my money before I've earned it, even. That's the thing that does my head in.
The other thing that Rift do, of course, very, very well, is R&D tax credits.
Absolutely. And
you're probably not going to want to talk too much about that. But
I can talk a bit about that. I know a little bit about
it. I mean, Sarah heads that up, doesn't she? I think, is it Sarah Collins?
Yeah.
And recently, I mean, I'm always at the cathedral because I love it there in Canterbury. Mm. And they're doing so much renovation work.
Yeah.
So I suggested to Sandra, who's their marketing manager, who then got in touch with their finance director, that they have a conversation with Rift, because all of the work they're doing in terms of pioneering new techniques to restore stonework, all of that kind of stuff could potentially qualify for R&D tax credits.
It's an area that's not really been... R&D itself is a fairly unknown area for a lot of people, but construction within R&D has been even more so, and it's something that we've identified in the last months, identifying these construction companies that have a claim.
Yep.
And I think someone said the other day that they haven't come across a construction company that isn't doing some sort of R&D, so there's always a claim there. And Rift's got a massive background in the construction industry, so for us...
Absolutely. So the two things come together perfectly.
A no-brainer, really.
R&D tax credits, Chris will explain what they are in a moment. I did an R&D tax claim through Rift a couple of years ago, which works very successfully for me. The government have extended the scheme. From a taxpayer's point of view... It's a virtuous circle, because the government estimates that for every £1 million that they return as an R&D tax investment, they actually claw back £4 million in increased tax revenues. Mm. So, you know, this is a virtuous circle thing.
Gross value add, or something they call it, don't they? Yeah, I mean, that's a term that they love in government circles.
If perhaps, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, it's just a brief overview for those that haven't heard. Because one of the problems with this is people don't think that it applies to them because they haven't got some huge...
No, that's right. One of the main misconceptions is to be doing research and development, you've got to be wearing a white coat and be in a laboratory, which is clearly not the case.
Yeah.
So the first thing to say is that it only applies if you're paying corporation tax. Mm. So you've got to be a limited company. You can't be a sole trader. Yeah. But if you're doing anything that's innovative... or it's not readily available out there in the field, then what you're doing could qualify. And that might just be developing something within your own internal systems, new processes on how to develop products and such like this. Anything like this could qualify for research and development tax credit. Mm. And if you do qualify for it, what you effectively get is enhanced corporation tax relief. Mm. So normally you'll get the cost of your investment. So if you've invested in a staff member to do this development, you'll just get the cost of their salary against your profits and therefore reduce your corporation tax. If this person's doing the R&D, you can claim another 130% of that on top. Mm-hmm. So you effectively claim 230%. Mm-hmm. And so you can either use that to reduce your corporation tax, or if it pushes you into losses, you can actually get it back as a Yeah. Refundable
well, you can ask for it back as cash.
Yeah, when I got mine, it was just cash. They just sent me a cheque.
So a lot of these businesses will be very new businesses who may not be profitable anyway. Mm. So this can be a real cash boost for them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The one caveat I would have on all of this is do talk to somebody like Rift in the first instance. Because the government, HMRC, operate another route for businesses to actually apply with some sort of pre-qualification. I can't remember what it's called. Advance assurance. Mm. And it's a complete nonsense.
It's a nightmare, isn't it?
It's a complete nonsense.
Yeah, you need a specialist
to help
you. The advance assurance is for a different scheme. With the research and development tax credits, we generally do a report that supports that to go with it. The advance assurance is more for the capital gains schemes for people investing into companies. Mm. So I actually had someone this week ask me, do I actually need this? And the short answer is no, you don't.
Mm.
But you can't guarantee that they're going to approve your...
Well, that's the key issue.
Is that linked to EIS and SEIS?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you just very quickly, because we've kind of run out of time, a quick overview, Chris, if you wouldn't mind, on EIS and SEIS.
Okay, so these are investment schemes to encourage people to invest in your small businesses. They've got the SEIS is for a smaller investment, up to $150,000. The EIS, I think, is up to $5 million per year. So it does depend on the size of business you've got. And it's really an incentive for the investor because they will get capital gains tax exemptions. If they make a gain on their shares, they won't pay any capital gains tax, and they'll also get a tax reduction on their investment.
30% or something on there? I mean, when I set my business up, I did it through an EIS scheme, and I think my business partner got 30% back on his investment.
You put some money into it, you get it straight back, 30% of it.
Yeah.
And all of that's just reconciled through your personal tax return at the end of the year, so it just reduces your tax liability.
Oh, I know, I've done it a few times. Thank you for that, Chris. It's lovely to see you. Sorry we can't talk longer, we're kind of running out of time. The great folks at both Rift Accounting and Rift Research and Development, based here in Ashford, are really good folks, really easy to talk to. If you want to know more about anything that Chris has talked about, do get in touch with them. Because they've got loads and loads of information, loads and loads of help. Look at their website, riftaccounting.co.uk.
And Sarah would love a bit more local business because she's travelling all over the country doing...
We can't have that, can
R&D tax consultations. She'd love to have a few more clients in Kent, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep her at home.
I'm sure there's people in Kent who are doing it who don't know they're doing it.
So exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be great to find them.
Yeah, absolutely. So do check it out. You've got nothing to lose. You know, a phone call. Awesome. Yeah. They'll tell you.
It's like so many of these things, though. You know, it's, you can't sell a secret, can you?
No, exactly.
And unfortunately, a lot of these, you know, government initiatives, HMRC, whatever it is, grant funding, nobody knows about it because there's no money to talk about it.
But especially with tax credits, though, it's this issue that Chris quite rightly highlighted, that a lot of people, when they see the term R&D tax credit, they just go, well, I don't do R&D. I'm only a little company. I don't do things like that. I haven't got a man in a lab. Yeah, and they don't realise what qualifies as R&D. Yeah, and that's why they need to talk to Rift, because they'll tell them.
Yeah,
cool. Chris, thank you so much for joining us. It's absolutely lovely to see you. Wishing you a Merry Christmas and a healthy, happy, and successful 2018. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, thank you very much. Martin, you can do, I'll tell you what, you can do one tweet, and then I think we'll do the FSB news. What do you reckon?
Yeah, it's actually a Kenwood Trust road trip. Now,
oh, yes.
You were at the Kenwood Trust building recently, weren't you?
I was indeed.
With the Networkers Networking event.
I was indeed.
So it starts on Tuesday the 12th of June and runs through till Friday the 15th. So this is basically a road trip for car enthusiasts. So I know Roland Stanley from the St. George Hotel, he'll be up for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went on the last one. So it starts off in that beautiful building, head office that you were in Yalding. And it makes its way to Dover. And from there, it makes its way down to the south of France through Dijon and actually Grenoble. And then after that, it picks up a road that I know very, very well because I love it down there. I was down there again last summer. It's called the Route Napoléon.
Yep.
And it goes all the way from Lac Saint-Croix, which is Gorge du Verdon, and it goes all the way down into Cannes. And that's ultimately where the road trip ends up. So very, very famous road, featured in any number of films. There's obviously a little bit of wine involved. There's some French cuisine involved.
He's making all this up, you know.
And apparently you'll arrive there feeling refreshed.
Or really? Having just driven 1,000 miles. Okay.
And had too much wine and too much cheese. But it sounds like an awful lot of fun. How do you get involved? Well, you need to speak to a lady called Lynn Hyder at kenwoodtrust.org.uk. I think they're looking for you to raise £1,000 per car. For their charity. So, you know, get four of you in, get some sponsorship going.
Absolutely.
What a great way to spend a few days.
It's wacky, it's wacky races.
It is really, isn't it?
It's wacky races for charity.
It's That's not quite it Cannonball Run, but it's kind of...
It's Dick Yeah.
It's going... Muttley may even be there.
in the Arkansas Chuckabug, yeah.
So what a great thing to do. It's all for charity, and it's Tuesday, the 12th of June to Friday the 15th.
Sweet. I might even do it myself this year.
Why not?
You never know. Tell you what we do now.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the programme where we cover the Federation of Small Business news and events. There's some local events coming up at the start of next year. Martin made reference to this already, the Kent Business Summit in Canterbury on Friday the 12th of January from 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. MP Rosie Duffield, Helen Waitley, Gordon Henderson and the Police and Crime Commissioner Matthew Scott will also be in attendance at the Summit of Business Leaders Looking at the Future of Business in Kent. There's an FSB Women in Business meeting in Tunbridge Wells on Wednesday the 24th of January. That's from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Beacon. Oh, the Beacon's lovely. It's up on Mount Ephraim there. It's an absolutely lovely place. And that's been arranged by Jacqueline Franklin, and she's the host of the FSB Women in Business events and Director of Hospitality Media. And then I'm running a Skills 30-30 in Dartford. That's Networking Inspire the Next Generation. Basically, we take 30 businesses into a school for the morning for a free session where we meet 30 pupils that are currently studying A-levels and tell them why they shouldn't bother to go to university, basically, and why they should look at apprenticeships, training and other career aspects. We talk to them about the world of work, but most importantly, we talk to them about what employers need from Generation Z, for that is they, coming into the new workforce. It's a great event. We've run dozens of them in the past. And the next one is taking place on Thursday, the 25th of January. It's at the Lee Academy at Dartford. It's from 9:30 until 11:30. It's totally free. And if you'd like to come, we'd like to have you there. You can find out all of these events by going to the Kent Business Radio website, clicking on the FSB tab, and then events, and it's all there. And you can find all the details, and you can book your place on any of these things.
Just picking up on what we were talking about earlier with regard to making tax digital. So a new report from HMRC themselves has highlighted how much work is needed to enable the small business community to reap the benefits of digital tax reporting. It finds that 1 in 5 firms and landlords are not using digital tax platforms because they lack confidence in their digital skills. Mm. So, you know, we've clearly got a generation of business owners who aren't even online in any way, shape or form.
Do you know, this isn't a made-up statistic. And and the reason I know it isn't made up, because I had to check this so many times, I could not believe this. I really still can't believe this. But they claim that 90% of self-employed micro-businesses do not have any online digital interaction at all. I just can't believe that. Yeah. They got a mobile phone, for crying out loud, haven't they?
If you think about it, you know, if you left school at 16, for example, or, you know, whatever, 17, 18, you know, 20, 25 years ago, you wouldn't have done any kind of IT training, practical skills in school whatsoever.
54% of schools currently don't offer IT as a GCSE. Do you know that? This is the United Kingdom in the 21st century, for crying out loud.
So I may have a mobile phone that's connected to the internet, which I can look at Facebook on. But apart from that, you know, it's not relevant to me.
Not good, is it?
Yeah, so once again, you've got this huge kind of gulf between, you know, we've got a deadline in 2019.
I could get you a gulf for £139 a month. Oh, I see what you mean, sorry.
Anyway, yeah. Moving on. I'll pick up on your last point about apprenticeships.
Yeah.
So we've got this new levy in, haven't we?
We have. That's worked well, hasn't it?
Yeah, so that's 6 months in now. And another survey has found that, what is it, a quarter, 23% of levy-paying firms have no understanding of the apprenticeship levy. So they're paying it but don't know what they're paying or don't know how their company will respond to it. Businesses with a pay bill of less than 3 million fall under the levy threshold, but can still apply for funding. Yet the findings of the survey show that two-thirds of these companies haven't taken any direct action to use the funds or don't know about it. So, you know, it's become a sort of a, what's the term? A white herring or
a farce is the term. 60 apprenticeship uptake has dropped by 61%. Since the introduction of the levy.
It's had the opposite.
Now, it's not the levy itself. It's the confusion caused by politicians continually changing things. Mm. It took 5 years for businesses to get up to speed with the old apprenticeship scheme. Mm. They just got there and they changed the whole thing. And as that report says, it's because people don't understand it that's the problem.
Listen to this. This is the worrying sort of summary here. For over half of levy-paying businesses, it represents an added cost, with 56% not expecting to recover any or only a portion of their payment, compared to 36% who expect to recover all or more of their payment.
It's frightening. Mm. Just stop meddling.
Right.
Just leave it alone. Mm. Go away. We don't need politicians. You're useless. Thank you. Apply now for innovation loans. Small businesses with groundbreaking ideas can now apply for new innovation loans from the UK's Innovation Agency to support their growth. This is part of an innovation loans pilot worth £50 million. The first competition worth £10 million is for SMEs, which want to help overcome barriers to scaling up innovation in infrastructure systems. You can find out about it and apply for a pilot loan by going to www.gov.uk/guidance-innovation-loans. Check it out.
Business rates.
Don't get me started.
So there are still 46 councils in England that haven't implemented the emergency business rate lifeline for small businesses.
Canterbury. Sorry.
Right. Okay.
Canterbury.
So what on earth is Canterbury, you know, doing? Why on earth does Canterbury fall into that category? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Cherry says it's now 9 months on from the announcement of emergency relief for those most harmed by April's business rates re-evaluation. It's completely unacceptable that small firms in these areas are being put in jeopardy by this lethargic action.
Mm.
Crazy, isn't it?
Don't even get me started on business rates.
46
Do not get
councils.
Me started on business rates. Mm. Canterbury, Ashford, what are you doing? Anyway, moving on. Have you heard of the new T levels?
Is that? I'm assuming that comes after S level.
It is. It's a new qualification. T level consultation has been launched. The Department for Education is inviting FSB members to submit their views on the implementation of T levels in England. T levels will be open to young people aged 16 to 19 years old in 15 subject areas where substantial technical training is needed. Computers, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
The consultation provides more information on the structure and design of T-levels, including the design of the technical qualification and compulsory 3-month work placement that will be an integral part of the programme. The FSB will be submitting a formal response. However, if you wish to share your views, you may do so directly via the consultation or email the Education and Skills Policy Advisor at the FSB, who is Annie Peat. The consultation will last for 10 weeks and will close in February 2018. If you want to follow Ali, you can follow her on the Twitter. Her Twitter handle is Annie Peat, which is A-N-N-I-E-P-E-A-T-E, Annie Peat. Do give her a follow, and if you want to input anything towards the T-level consultation, do follow up with her.
You and I are incredibly joined up today because I, you know, your
this show just isn't thrown together, mate. It's produced within an inch of its life.
Yeah, because you know I'm going to follow on from that because
you go for it.
Again, FSB are warning about a digital skills gap.
Yeah.
So there is a digital skills gap in small firms, and it's holding back productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about productivity. Mm. Productivity is like the buzzword at the moment.
It is.
It? Even Jeremy Vine,
yeah,
was talking about productivity today.
It's got so bad that Linda's had to go on holiday. She's for a lie down. She's had such a torrid time telling people about productivity.
So clearly, small businesses and their staff need to be at the heart of a new national retraining scheme announced in the budget to boost digital capability. I wonder how long that's going to take to come online, but it's desperately needed, clearly.
Absolutely it is. Loneliness, Martin. Loneliness is everyone's business. The FSB welcomed the work of the Joe Cox Foundation in tackling the UK's epidemic of loneliness this week, as Rachel Reeves MP gave a speech to throw a new light on loneliness. The FSB's own research has found that working alone is one of the top three challenges of being self-employed. The FSB offers practical support to help combat this, including free business networking events called FSB Connect, which has seen over 4,000 participants in the UK since launching earlier this year. If you are a home worker working alone in the East Kent area, you could always come and join us at Fruitworks.
Was that a plug?
Yeah, it was really, wasn't it?
Other shared office space providers are available, like Kent Space, for example.
Yeah, here in Ashford. I was going to run off the different ones.
Yeah.
In Canterbury and East Kent, you have the Fruitworks, the community workspace and hub. Here, where we're based at Channel Radio in Ashford, you have Kent Space. Over in Medway Towns, you have Dragon Co-working at the lovely St. George's Hotel. So there are quite a few co-working spaces around Kent now.
Simon, sitting next to us, is actually based at Base Point in Dartford.
Right, okay.
They've got another brilliant one here in Folkestone. In fact, they've got one in Medway. They're all over the place
all
as
over
well.
The place.
But awesome. While we're on the subject, I was talking to Sue at Kent Space before we came on air, and their Phase 2 development in this very building is actually coming online next year.
Yeah, March, April time.
And they're now taking reservations from businesses that are looking to move into their new shared office space at the Letraset building here.
Yeah.
So I
highly recommend it. It's a lovely place to be.
It is. So Sue McGowan at Kent Space is your contact there.
Absolutely. The FSB have said that council parking regimes stifle small business communities. Local authorities could do more to boost growth by taking a more generous approach to parking around local high streets. Reacting to new figures from the RAC Foundation that show 8 million local authority parking penalties are issued annually across England and Wales. That's 8 million. Yeah. Mike Cherry, the head of policy at the FSB, said introducing such schemes like short stay free parking can prove a shot in the arm for town centres.
They do that in Ramsgate on a Saturday.
Yeah. My little town centre is lovely for parking. Mm-hmm. There's loads of free parking. There's pay and display and there's free parking. It's a great place.
It's handy because when you go to a Slope or Friday, you can park your car in the multi-storey.
And come back 4 days later
and not have to worry about paying for a parking ticket.
While you were talking about that, I was talking to someone the other day on Amanda's show, actually, a lady that was a midwife. She had an inpatient visit to a hospital, and when she went, they kept her in, and she didn't come out of hospital again for 5 months, and she had a parking bill of £1,975.
Did she have a flat battery?
Probably.
Gosh.
It's terrible, isn't it?
I hope they waived it.
Yeah, they did, actually,
But talking about the nonsense of that kind of thing, we've got a broadband compensation scheme. So Ofcom has announced, sort of 10 years after the event, that plans for people to be automatically compensated by broadband and landline providers for slow repairs, missed appointments and delayed installations. I had the most ridiculous situation recently at home where I've got a Sky contract for my broadband and it wasn't working. And actually my phone had gone down. And it was just a kind of completely crackly line. So because Sky aren't the infrastructure provider, it's Openreach.
Yep.
What I had to do to avoid paying some ridiculous call-out charge was agree to sign up to Sky for another 2 years before they would agree to contact BT to come round and test the line. I mean, absolute nonsense. And in fact, Sky were adamant that the problem was inside my house, when clearly what had happened was that the copper wire that connects the telegraph pole to the green box at the end of the road had corroded. And when the BT man came round and repaired it, he said, we installed a new wire years ago, he said, but we just haven't swapped people over. I said, well, why haven't you swapped people over? Well, because we wait for it to fail and then they tell us, and then we swap it over.
Yeah.
You think, what a way to run a business. Yeah. We wait for the wheels to come off, and then we put them back on again.
Don't get me started on BT. So I think that brings us to the end of our FSB news update for another week. Cool, thank you for that. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in just a minute, and then we'll be back for the second half of the show with two great guests for you to talk to. So let's join the newsroom right now.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update. The train that derailed in Washington, killing three people and injuring more than 100 others, was travelling at nearly triple the speed limit, according to federal officers. The Amtrak train was on its first ever journey through a new route. Four men have been arrested on suspicion of terror offences. Three of them were detained in Sheffield and one in nearby Chesterfield. South Yorkshire police are asking people to be alert but not alarmed. The government's shaking up sex education for the first time in 17 years. They're asking parents to have their say on what should be included in the curriculum.